Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. It's Monday and we sit down and talk wheat with Steely Fischbacher from the Texas Wheat Producers and Association. Good morning, Mrs. Fischbacher. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm glad to be with you this morning.
I know it. The weather has been up and down. We still don't see any moisture on the way. Almost 60 days at this time without any measurable precipitation out there of any significance. And that's going to push me to ask about the update on crops.
Yeah, and I'll say that you kind of stole the headline there, just continued dryness. That continues to impact our wheat crop, continued impact on the amount of grazing potential that we have in the region, which impacts our cattle markets and how we handle livestock for the next few months. So just ongoing concerns around dryness. When I talk to my board members or other farmers in the area, that tends to be one of the first comments that I'm getting. And so typically in a year where we're really dry or we have lower or reduced production prospects, we'll see a corresponding rise in price. Over this last week, we've seen prices kind of be very variable. We had a very active week in our wheat futures contracts, but I'll kind of go through what some of those factors might have been. So we did have a WASDE report that came out last week, a couple of bearish items in that report. Number one, an increase in global ending stocks. That's mostly on increased production outlook for Australia, which is supposed to be, and they're expecting a new record. So this would be their second year to set a new record. Canada and Australia also added to that. Ending stocks are still at the lowest level in 5 years, so we're still on the lower side of where we've been in recent history. So it's not a completely foregone conclusion that we'll have huge wheat stocks, but they did slightly increase those global ending stocks. Here in the U.S., we also increased our ending stocks, mostly on a revision to our export outlook. They actually reduced our exports 20 million bushels on reduced demand. Right now, when we look at kind of the major exporters, the United States is the highest price, second behind Canada. So we're second highest priced in the global market right now for hard red winter wheat exports. So it's really hard to compete in that global marketplace being that high priced. So maybe if we see some type of correction or any other type of hiccup in the global market, we might be able to see an increase in demand. There's still a lot of uncertainty on what's going to happen with Russia in the coming months on their export restrictions and export taxes. And so we'll have to watch that very closely. That could have a big impact. And I had mentioned those major exporters. So the ending stocks in those major exporter countries are still at the lowest level that they've been in 15 years. So it really looks like, you know, if there's any little hiccup around the world, we could have a large impact on our price. So it's going to be a very interesting year to continue to watch. And if we continue these dry conditions like we're seeing in the near-term forecast, that could also give us a little bit of financial boost. USDA season average farm price was changed or increased in that WASDE report up to $7.05. So that is kind of where they see us running. That's a season marketing year average price. So that runs from June 1 through the end of May, cash price there. So we'll have to watch that figure. That is the figure that, if once it's final, will be used to determine if there will be a PLC payment, so if you'll have any safety net payments under Title I for ARC or PLC. And at this point, if we remain at that level, we're likely not to see those Title I payments, which is a good thing. You know, if we have the production out there, we're able to sell those bushels at a profitable price. Our farmers always tell us they'd rather receive that than a government check to try to offset the losses that they had. So we'll just continue to watch what's happening in the wheat market. But like I said, some very interesting things to keep an eye on as we move through this season.
You had mentioned about the Russia and, of course, the thing with the Ukraine. We're probably looking at economic sanctions against them. Are producers feeling the same kind of strain or same kind of worry with China, with the Olympics issue that's coming up, where we're not going to send diplomatic figures to the Olympics, and it's kind of ruffled some feathers. Is that going to have a blowback onto our producers here as far as markets?
It can. It certainly can. And we know that China is a large importer of U.S. ag products. Specifically for wheat, they had a banner year for U.S. wheat imports last year. But this year, we just have not seen that same level of demand. And that's something that, you know, is really hurting us in our global exports pace. We're actually behind, quite a bit behind our pace that we were at this point last year. And a large part of that is China. And so we'll continue to watch what that impact might have, not only on our exports and trying to help us out there, but also when you mentioned China and hosting the Olympics and the changes that come into play there, that also impacts a conversation we've been having about the availability of farm inputs, fertilizer and chemicals. AgriLife had a very good webinar this week where they talked about the challenges of securing some of these needed products in the coming year and some strategies that you can take. And so China, we know, is a major exporter of some of those products or materials that are included in those products. And so that's certainly one to watch.
Yeah, I read an article just recently about fertilizer prices continue to climb. Even though the market's high, they, like I said, the input cost kind of offsets that sometimes, and so it comes out a wash. They might be getting a higher price for their product, but they have another built-in cost there. One thing that Texas Wheat is really, really focused on is education and getting the next generation of producers and people who work in the industry there. And you've got a great chance for a student to kind of get out on the right foot working with Texas Wheat and other ag interests.
That's right. So the opportunity that we have available is through our partnership with the National Wheat Foundation, and they have a couple of scholarships that are open right now for applications through December 31. So you have until now, through the end of the year, to get in the application for the Jerry Minori Scholarship. These are $2,500 scholarships available for current freshmen, sophomores, or juniors enrolled in college who's pursuing a degree in ag. So as you mentioned, really setting up those students to have that future pathway into the ag industry, whether that be a farmer or working for some type of ag business, that would all apply here. So if you know of a student, you are a student, you have a family member who's a student, they do have to have a membership to the Texas Wheat Producers Association to be eligible, but we're very willing to help out with that and try to get them signed up so that they can apply for this scholarship. If they have any questions, we do have information available on our website, texaswheat.org, or you can call us here at our office.
Yeah, always great to help out that next generation.